Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's shiur, we study Perek Yudalet, chapter 14. Asher haya dvar Adonai el Yirmiyahu al divrei habatzarot. This is the word of God to Yirmiyahu about the famine or the drought. The word batzoret is known in modern-day Hebrew as well. When there's no rain and everything's dry, there's no food, which leads to a famine. Why that word means a drought, levatzer in Hebrew, means to hold something back. If you remember in the story of Migdal Bavel, God said, "Vatal lo yivatzer mehem." Nothing will hold them back, everything they were planning to do. So when the rain is being held back, hence the word is called batzoret. Pasuk bet, Avla Yehuda. Yehuda is mourning because of the situation that they're in. Usharel umlalu. Its gates have been cut down, have fallen down. Kadru la'aretz, like darkness over the earth. V'tzivchat Yerushalayim alata. The cry of the people in Yerushalayim is going up to heaven. The situation is so bad that people are crying and screaming. There's nothing to eat. Badirehem, the leaders of the people, the officers, shachutzi rehem lamaim, they sent the young people to go look for water. Bawa givim, they went to the places where there are ponds of water, in the valleys, an area where water collects that's a little bit lower down than other places in the valleys called a gev. Anyone who goes on Tiulim in the land of Israel knows how little gevim form, where water collects when there's a flood going through the valley. So they went to these places, which usually have water. But lo matzumayim, they didn't find any water. Shavu klehem rikam, the vessels came back empty. Boshu v'chlumu, they were ashamed and embarrassed. V'chafur osham, their faces were covered in shame. If you remember in Megillat Esther, where it says, Ufnei Haman chafu, when Haman heard about Mordechai being honored, his face fell in shame. The same word here. Bavur hadama chata, they're crying out because the land is parched, dry. Ki lo haya geshem baretz, because there was no rain in the land. Nothing's growing. Boshu ikarim, the farmers are ashamed. They're embarrassed. Chafur rosham, they're also covering their heads in shame. The last example in Pasuk Hey, ki gam ayelet basadeh yaldav azov. Even the female ram, and ayal is a ram, ayelet is a female ram. A female ram gives birth to a baby in the field, and she leaves her baby. Why? Ki lo haya deshe. There was no grass, there was no greenery, nothing for them to eat, and therefore she couldn't feed her baby. Ufraim amdu ashvaim. The wild donkeys stood up on the high places. Most commentators hold shvaim is high up. Rashi claims that it's a place maybe where there's water inside of a valley. Either way, they go to these places in search of water. Shafu ruach katanim. They breathe in the wind like serpents do. Kalu enehem, but their eyes are closed and sad. Ki ein esev. There's nothing to eat. That's the end of the description of how bad this famine is, or how bad this famine is going to be in the land. And now Yirmiyahu turns to God in prayer. Listen to how beautiful this prayer is. In fact, some of it we quote in our daily tefillot. It's rather amazing how God is not going to answer this prayer. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. Im avoneinu anuvanu, Adonai ase leman shmecha. If our sins are causing us punishment, then God, do it for the sake of your name. We might not be deserving of salvation here, but for the sake of your name, Yirmiyahu asked God to do it. Ki rabu meshuvatenu lecha chatanu. Meshuvatenu, again, is miloshan shovav, a mischievous type of behavior, a rebellious type of behavior. We have been too rebellious against you, so we don't deserve maybe to be saved. We've sinned to you, but nonetheless, save us for the sake of your name. What's his concept? Recall over and over again in Chumash how God chose us to make his name great. And now we're saying, because we as a nation are representing God, if God punishes his people, it may cause God to look bad. This was the direction that Moshe Rabbeinu used in his prayer to save Am Yisrael after Chet HaEgel and after Chet HaMeraglim. It's a classic line. Maybe we're not deserving because of our deeds, but for the sake of God's name, because we're carrying his name, maybe he'll save us. Yirmiyahu continues in his prayer. Mikveh Yisrael Moshiach Beit Sara. He refers to God as Mikveh Yisrael. Mikveh means hope, like tikvah, but also it's a beautiful play on words, because mikveh maim is also a source of water, like a mikveh. A mikveh is where water collects. So here the word tikvah meaning hope, mikvah meaning a water source, we call God mikveh Yisrael. God is both the hope of Israel and the source of its water. Moshiach Beit Sara, he's the one who saves us when we're in trouble. Now Yirmiyahu asked God the question, Lama tiyeh keger ba'aretz? Why are you like a stranger in your own land? Uchorech natalalun. Like a visitor just stopping by to stay. You're not coming to take care of us. It looks like you're not here with us. We're suffering, and you don't come to save us. Pasuk Tet. Verse 9. Lamatia kish nidham. Why are you standing there like a person amazed, like he doesn't know what's going on? Ki gibor lo yuchal oshia, like a strong man not able to help. Vata bikirbeinu Adonai. You're in our midst. You're our God. V'shimcha aleinu nikra. Al tenichenu. Your name is called upon us. Don't abandon us. Don't leave us alone. That's the end of Yirmiyahu's tefillah, which is a powerful one. And the points that he's making is going to return to the very same theme which we've been discussing all along in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Why is it that the punishment now is so harsh, even though the people are returning to God? We see from this tefillah that there's a movement of tshuva. The people want to return to God. Yirmiyahu's own prayer reflects that. They recognize they've sinned, but they think they've returned. How could God say no to such a beautiful prayer? Listen to what God says instead. Pasuk Yud, Ko amar Adonai la'am hazeh. This is the word of God to this nation. Kein avu lanua. This nation, they love to walk around from place to place. Ragleim lo chasachu. They don't stop their feet from going from place to place. Most commentators say they went to Ashur for help. They went to Egypt for help. They went to other gods. They're so used to running around. Now they have no one else to go to. Now they come to me. Adonai lo ratzam. God doesn't want them anymore. Ata yizkor avonam. Now he's going to remember their sin and punish them for it. V'ifkod chatotam. Now they're going to be punished. The day of reckoning has come. They'll be punished for their sins. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Adonai Elai. Al titpalel ba'ad hamazeh letova. Imagine what God says here to Yirmiyahu. God tells him, don't pray for this nation for anything good. Remember before, Yirmiyahu in the previous chapters had prayed that God punished the false prophets of Anatot and his colleagues who want to kill him because they're misleading the people. But here Yirmiyahu is praying for the people themselves. So why can't God at least help the people out? God tells Yirmiyahu, don't daven, don't pray. Pasuk Yud Bet. Ki yatzumu, God says, when they fast, and then yishomea arinatam, I don't listen to their prayers, to their crying out to me. V'chi yalu olah u'mincha, and then yirotam. When they bring for me an offering, an olah, a burnt offering, or mincha, a flower offering, I don't accept them, I don't want them. Why? Ki bacherav uvarav uvadever anochi mechala otam. I'm intending now to destroy them with sword, with famine, with pestilence, with the plague. I'm going to totally wipe them out. There'll be nothing left. God seems to be saying his decision is almost final. And even when they fast, he's not listening. Now, what's very interesting here in Pasuk Yud Bet, God is grouping together both animal sacrifice and prayer in the same category. We always think that prayer is better than animal sacrifice. Animal sacrifice, people think they're feeding God, they have a misunderstanding, sort of pagan. But how could God turn away from prayer? But Yirmiyahu puts prayer and animal sacrifice in the same category. That is not accompanied with proper behavior. If people only turn to God in prayer or bring korbanot, whatever it might be, but that prayer is only technical, it's only lip service, but it's not accompanied by a change of deeds and a return to proper ethical behavior in representing God, God doesn't listen to that as well. And here we see a very important lesson about prayer, that prayer by itself, if it's not accompanied with proper tshuva, with proper repentance, it's as meaningless as an offering brought without tshuva as well. A very difficult concept to appreciate, but it's clear that's what Yirmiyahu is saying here, that prayer alone without return to God can be considered empty. And hence there can be situations where we pray and God won't answer. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Va'amar. Yirmiyahu answers back, Aha, Adonai Elohim. Hinei nevim omrim lehem, lo tiru cherev, v'ra'av lo yeh lechem, ki shalom emet eten lechem b'makom hazeh. We're finally going to get an explicit understanding now, what we've been referring to in many of our earlier shurim and Sefer Yirmiyahu. Who are these false prophets? And what are they telling the people? Recall again, a Navi is someone representing God. In Am Yisrael, there are always Navi'im. Navi'im don't necessarily have to hear the word of God. God doesn't have to appear to them in a dream. Nor do they predict future events. They're the guidance counselors, like rabbis today, of the people. And they're claimed to be representing God. Well, we're going to find now that the established group of Nevi'im, you could call that pretty much the established rabbinate at the time, is giving a very clear message to the people and saying it in the name of God that destruction won't happen. The sword won't come, meaning Bavel is not going to defeat them. And there won't be a famine. And instead, Shalom, ki shalom ve'eten lechem b'makom hazeh. The Nevi'im are promising them, lo tiru cherev, you won't see sword. And there won't be a famine. And there'll be peace. There'll be true peace in the land. All you have to do is pray and bring korbanot, bring sacrifices, and everything will be fine. And you don't have to give in to Bavel. you'll be able to defeat Babel in battle. And they're saying this in the name of God. We're going to see in our study later on in Yirmiyahu, when we get to the what I call the juicy part, in Perek Chafei, in chapter 25, Yirmiyahu is predicting that Babel is going to come and take over. In fact, Yirmiyahu is going to suggest that the people put up a white flag to Babel to surrender. No one likes that advice. Instead, all the rabbis are encouraging the people to fight and promising them that if they put up a fight and don't give in to Babel, God will help them, the country won't be destroyed, and there'll be peace. And they're saying this in God's name, and God never said it. Pasuk Yedaleh, Vayomer Adonai Elai, God tells Yirmiyahu, Sheker HaNevi'im Nib'im Bishmi. What these prophets are saying in my name is false. It's not true. Lo shlachtim v'lo tzivitim v'lo dibarti alehem. I did not send them, I did not command them, and I never spoke to them. Chazon sheker, it's a false prophecy. It's a false vision that they're saying. V'kesem v'elil v'tarmit libam. It's witchcraft, it's their imagination, it's deception, it's a deception of their heart. Hema mitnabim lachem. What they're telling you is phony. They're making it up. That's what they want to believe. But God never said it. What seems to have happened here is the people very much want to hear the message that everything will be fine, that we can fight Babel, we can defeat them, and the city will be saved. Yirmiyahu is saying, it won't happen. You have to give in to Babel. And he's saying that in God's name. Yirmiyahu's colleagues who don't accept Yirmiyahu's nevuah have to counter. And what they start doing, they're going to start saying in God's name things that God never said. But they're so sure that they're right that they're willing to say that in God's name. And that way they're misleading the people. Now, the primary sin here is that people think that all they need to do is pray to God, God will be on their side. They don't recognize that God's promise of salvation has to be accompanied by improved behavior. They're not willing to change their ways. Yirmiyahu's warned them over and over again. They don't seem to get the point. They think it's enough just to pray and bring sacrifices. And God says, this can't continue. I have to put an end to it. Now God's going to give his message about the Nevi'im, how angry he is with them. Pasuk Tet Vav, verse 15. Lachain, kol ma'al Adonai. This is the word of God. Al Nevi'im hanibi'im bishmi v'ani lo shlachtim. This is God's message about the prophets who are making prophecies in my name, and I never sent them. V'heim omrim, these prophets are saying, Cher v'av lo yeh ba'aretz hazot. Those prophets were saying that there won't be sword and famine in the land. What will happen to these prophets who are making these predictions? These prophets are going to be destroyed and cut off by sword and by famine. That's the punishment of the false prophets. How about the people? Why are we blaming them? God claims that people should know better. They should know and realize that the prophets are making it up. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Va'am asher hema nibim lahem. The nation that they're giving these prophecies to, what will happen to them? They'll be scattered on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, falling dead because of the famine and the sword. There won't be even anyone to bury them. Hema, them, neshehem, their wives, uvneim uvnoteim, and their children, their sons and daughters. I'm going to pour my punishment upon them for all the bad things they've done. Pasuk Yedzayin, V'yamarta alehem et hadavar hazeh. When Yirmiyahu will tell them these words, Te'radna einai dima, laila v'yom, v'yal tidmena. Yirmiyahu's eyes are going to be crying with tears, day and night, and these tears won't stop. They'll continue to fall. Ki shever gadol nishbara, betulat batami, makat nachla ma'od. This terrible desolation and destruction is going to break my people. The people here are called betulat batami, a betulah is a virgin, the nation of Israel, because they've never been subjugated before, is referred to as Betulat Batami. Makah nachla ma'od, makah is a blow being struck by someone. Nachla be holy, a sick being sick. So this sickening blow is going to be very severe. Now he's going to describe how bad this is going to be. Im yatzati hasadeh, if I go out to the fields, v'inei chalalei cherev, there I see people killed by war, by the sword. V'im bati ha'ir, if I go into the city, v'inei ta'ir, I see people sick and dying because of famine. Ki gam navi, gam kohen, sachru el eretz v'lo yadau. Both the navi and the kohen, both the religious leaders, both types of religious leaders, went around from place to place in the land, but they did not know God. They were not able to deliver the proper message. Yirmiyahu is going to turn again in prayer to God and ask, Hamos ma'astat Yehuda? Im b'tzion galan nafshecha? Madu ikitanu ven lanu marapeh? Kaved shalom ven tov uleit marapeh v'nei v'ata. Again, a beautiful prayer of Yirmiyahu. Hamos ma'astat Yehuda? Do you totally despise your people? Are you sick of them? Are you sick of Yehuda? Are you sick of Tzion? Madu ikitanu? Why have you smitten us so bad? Vein lanu marpeh, and there's nothing to heal us. Kaved l'shalom, we're hoping for peace. Vein tov, nothing good comes. Uleit marpeh, we're hoping for a time of healing. Veinei vata, instead we have fear and fright. Yedanu Adonai Rishenu, avon avotenu. We know God. We know of our wickedness. We know how bad our parents, our forefathers have sinned. Ki chatanu l'cha, we've sinned to you. But, al tinatz l'man shimcha. But don't reject us for the sake of your name. The word na'atz is like by Chetam Raglim, Ad ane yinatzuni hamazah. How long will these people continue to reject all the signs I've given them? Here also, Al tinatz l'man shimcha. Don't reject us for the sake of your name. We recognize we've sinned, but save us so you don't look bad. Al tinabel kisei kvodecha. Don't let your throne wither and fall. Zechor al tether b'tcha itano. Remember us and don't break your covenant with us. Yirmiyahu doesn't give up. He keeps on praying to God. Maybe he'll save us. And then he explains why. Pasach Habet. Hayesh bavlei hagoyim makshimim. Are there any other gods that are able to give rain? The word geshem is rain. Makshimim is someone, a god with the ability to give rain. Yirmiyahu asks the question, is there any other god that can give rain other than you? Vim hashamayim yidnu revivim. Will the heavens themselves give the rain? Only you give the rain. Halo atahu Adonai Elohinu. You're our God. You're the one who gives rain. We're going to hope in you. You made the heavens and the rain and the clouds. We're turning to you for help. That's the end of the chapter. We're waiting anxiously for God's answer. We'll read just the first line, which will be the beginning of our next year. God answers, even if people greater than Yirmiyahu would come and pray to me, even Moshe Rabbeinu or Shmuel, two of the greatest leaders in Jewish history, two leaders who knew how to pray and were successful in prayer to God and stopped terrible punishment. God says, even if they stood, I wouldn't forgive my people. I'm sending them away. God's telling Yirmiyahu, it's not a question of how much you pray in Davin. I've warned them. They don't get the message. They're not fixing their behavior. What, again, is wrong with their behavior? What is so bad? In our next year, in Perek Tedvav, we'll get the more detailed answer by God. But again, you read a chapter like chapter 14, you stand in amazement of how someone could daven with such sincerity to God, give such good reasoning why God should forgive them. God is so upset with his people. He's warned them over and over again. He's going to return to his message. As we've seen before, it has to get worse before it can get better. There's a need to go into exile. They need certain rehabilitation that lip service and prayer and korbanot and saying you're returning to God is not enough. Every time the people have done it before, as soon as things are better, they go back to their old ways again. God's saying, this time I need a punishment to enable a more sincere return to God. And sadly enough, despite the beauty of his prayer, Yirmiyahu's prayer is not sufficient.